I'm sorry, before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Thomas Hill.
Okay, sir, who's going to do this to me? That should be the law. That should be. What was your name again, sir?
Thomas Hill.
Thomas Hill.
Thomas Hill. Okay, Mr. Hill, just hold on one moment. Now, who's going to conduct the hearing for Mr. Hill? The Honorable Mr. David Neal. The Honorable Mr. David Neal, who's sitting right next to me, he's going to conduct your hearing, sir. Just hold on to the phone. Don't hang up, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Yes, Thomas Allen Hill, 054806.
Okay, sir, you were appearing before the Airman Board of Deputy Clemency this morning in reference to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board members who conduct the hearing at this time. So to your far right on the screen would be, your far left on the screen, would be the Honorable Michael Johnson, and then we have the Honorable Neil Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, then to your far right is the Honorable Lloyd Canales. My name is David Neal, and I'll be your hearing man this morning. So we're going to run some information here, sir, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll just verify with you as we go. And then we'll get back to you and discuss reasons for a possible parole. So you're currently 57 years old, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you're serving a life sentence for a first grade murder, which began on June 4, 1990. You became ill eligible on September 27, 2015, and you were certified for this hearing, which is for parole the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge on November 21, 2018. If granted parole to your next consecutive sentence, you would start a 7.5-year sentence for your second-degree burglary. You have appeared before this board on 3 previous occasions and you were denied each time. Does that all sound
yes, sir.
Fairly accurate, sir? And then I believe after the 7.5-year sentence, there's a 21-year sentence that you will move to for sexual assault, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so very simply, the offense was June 16, 1989. You broke into the home of the victim. The victim was a 78-year-old female who was proven deaf. You raped her and brutally beat her with your chest, nose, and jaw. She died as a result of her injuries. You later admitted to killing the victim and turning some of the items you stole for cocaine. Does that sound briefly accurate on the offense, sir?
Yes, yes, it does.
Okay. So, I really hope that we received a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated December 14, 2018, in opposition to any type of parole release. I received a copy of your criminal history this morning, and actually there isn't much to it prior to the instant offense, the DUI, criminal damage, criminal trespass, murdering, you have an aggravated assault in 1989. Looks like no complaints were filed on that one. Because drug possessions and then you got into this situation. And you have had minor discipline, nothing violent. You have a ticket on March 30th, 2018 for refusing to do a UA that sound correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So did they have you drop the next day?
No, this was very extremely early in the morning at 7 o'clock, and they told me I was going to the yard office. I assumed it was for some kind of legal mail. That's usually what we go up there for. And so I used the restroom before I left, and I was kind of a severe diabetic nowadays. I take insulin, metformin, triposide, and that early in the morning I had just woken up, and I was severely dehydrated in the first place. And when I went, I didn't know I was supposed to go up and drop a UAF. Dropped 100 of them with no problem, but this particular day I could not produce, and they did not afford me, according to the record, the proper time to come up with some water urine. And he gave me an 8-ounce cup of water after I begged and pleaded after the first 45 minutes, but that still wasn't enough. I couldn't just do it at the time then. And I said, look, let me come back later or the next day, anything. Take me a medical link, a blood sample, whatever. But he was in a huge hurry and kind of shuffled me along. But I am guilty. I could not produce a urine on that particular day. But I've had some sense then. It's all good. It's been good for 30 years. I've never used drugs or alcohol in prison. But this was a strictly medical issue, and he didn't understand that.
Okay. Well, that's... Your history doesn't show anything, at least since about 1996, involving drugs. So that's why I ask if they, when people are on release, they usually, if they miss or have a bad UA on one day, they haven't dropped the next day, just to make sure they weren't drinking. Yeah, there's no indication in here to make me feel that you weren't drinking at this time, so.
No, definitely not.
So we go on beyond that. Looks like you've had some programming, including some sex offender, substance abuse, and you've got your GED on your insulin?
Yes, sir. I've had 3 GEDs.
Oh.
And I've had three different GEDs since my incarceration back in 89. And I actually had one back in 79 from the state of Arizona. But in prison, in certain times when you get shuffled around in different units, that's what got me out of my cell, was going to take GD. So for lack of better, for nothing else to do and no job, I was just attending classes just so I could further my education, and I subsequently got 3 more GEDs, along with a whole bunch of CAC and college classes also.
Well, that's very commendable, sir.
Thank you.
It does a couple of things. It aligns you, gets your information into you so that you can move forward with it as a more intelligent person. And
yes, sir, it does.
And, you know, it's something that will keep you minded. By keeping busy, you'll stay out of trouble.
Definitely.
Okay, so, do you have any family, sir?
Yes, sir, I have a sister. Most everybody's died off on me, but my sister moved to Tennessee with her husband, and I have a daughter here in the state that has come to visit me frequently, Amanda, and... So, but that's pretty much all the family I have left.
Okay.
I had cousins and stuff, and they all dropped off. But I'm pretty much on my own, and my daughter, if I ever do have to be released in my 70s or so, she'll be in her 50s. And right now she's 34, 35.
Okay, we don't have any letters of support. Nobody's here in the gallery, you know, to the next consecutive sentence. But we'd like to see some sort of support system besides just yourself.
Yes, sir. I didn't get a hold of my sister or my daughter, because that's, I know if I am granted mercifully to my next number, that it'll still be, I know I'll still be in my 80s when I get out of here. And so I didn't want to bother them at this point to go out of their way to come down to attend a hearing that really wouldn't, I mean, they're really not needed for at this time. But I'm sure I could get my sister and my daughter to maybe write a letter when the time comes if I need to.
Okay. So at whatever meeting, the board would like to see some, at least letters of support.
Okay, I can do that next year if it don't make it this year or whatever. I had to sign a waiver last week because I didn't have really time to even send you all my certificates. And I brought them with me, and I don't know if it won't be pulled up to the screen or not, but I brought my whole pack of certificates that I got for all the classes. And we just didn't have time to get them to you this time.
Okay, sir. Why don't we, at this time, why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on in your life back in 1989 when this occurred? What was going on? Why would something like this happen?
Well, back in, I think it was August of 88 is when this crime actually occurred. I was dealing heavily in the alcohol and drugs, and I know that's no excuse. I've had issues that I've learned in my various classes that abuse and sexual abuse and whatnot. Me and my sister were shuffled around from foster care. Our real mother had died when we were really small, so we were shuffled around foster care. And I remember drinking alcohol at a very early age, and I became addicted. I'm an alcoholic since I was a small child, I've come to learn. And we were adopted and brought up by a nice family here in Mesa. And when I turned about 10 or 11, I was started drinking out and using drugs and smoking weed. It was a non-stop series of severe alcohol drug abuse. I started really very bad when I was a child. I had severe emotional problems. And when I got to be into the adults, of course, it was horrible. I had so many DWIs when I was in my life, and I pretty much burned every bridge and just turned into a total wretch of a man. And I became addicted to drugs, and I had committed a burglary at a certain home in Mesa. And at one time, a few weeks later, I thought I should go back there and maybe I could get something that I could sell for some drugs. Which the home was full, the lights were on, and so I remember in my hazy, drunken state, seeing the house next door looked abandoned. So I went through there and I checked the doors, I remember, and the back door was open, and I went inside. And I was rummaging the house looking for it, and when the bedroom door was, all the lights were off, and I didn't think anybody was home, but I heard this noise, and I heard some yelling, and I remember I jumped on her and started hitting her, and after that, I committed a sexual assault on her, and I regret that to this day. I don't know how I could ever take that back. I don't know why. I can't even believe it was me that did that. But all the telltale signs of my abuse that I've experienced from my alcohol abuse that I keep in my drug use, and in combination with my abandonment issues when I was a child, I believe that's what acted me out. And all these years I've thought about it, and this SOTP class that I'm taking has kind of opened my eyes. And I've talked to other people in the class, and then our stories are so similar, it's ridiculous. Of course, they didn't go to the extent I did. And I know I committed this offense. It was, God bless my adopted parents, they tried to help me. and my sister, and she didn't turn out like this either. But I sure regret it. And that's pretty much all I can remember of that night.
Okay, sir. So... So basically, you're blaming it on your substance abuse, putting you out of control and not making good decisions.
Well, I was pretty screwed as a kid also, sir. I think that is it, because I'm not that person deep down without the drug and drinking. And, 30 years later, I know I'm not that same person.
Okay.
That's funny.
So you were what, 28 when this happened?
28. Yes, sir. That would have been 27, 28 exactly. In 88, that would have been 27.
Okay. All right. So. Now, we've talked about you've gotten your DVDs and that sort of thing, so, but as a person, what would you tell me about yourself and how you've changed over the years to help convince me as one voting board member that I should vote to move you forward to your next consecutive sentence? What makes this a good time for that?
The only thing I can say, sir, is when I started using the drugs and the alcohol at the age of 10 and 11, I didn't really mature. I stayed the same age, I believe, mentally. I was stagnant for many, many years. And after I was arrested, thrown in jail, and I had all this time, I had a chance to mature and really grew up. I was kind of on hold there for a while, emotionally and physically. And after looking at all the people and the things that I've been through in prison, I just haven't had the chance to really have a normal life when I was on the streets. And I've had all this time to stay clean and sober. And I've had many opportunities to use alcohol and stuff, and I just don't do it. I hate it after what it's done to my life and what I've allowed it to do to me before I was incarcerated. I'm not blaming that. I mean, a lot of people don't end up like me, but I've changed totally. Like I said, I've bettered myself through education. I've got a ton of these classes that dealt with my anger management, stress management. I've got, I took classes for men in recovery, smart recovery, cognitive resources, just so many different, you name it, and I've done the class, I've done the work, I've bettered myself, and I'm starting to like myself. And even though that person back then did this horrible crime, I don't believe I could ever hurt another person in my life. I really don't, and that's from the bottom of my heart, that's all I can say. I wish to heck now I would have my sister and daughter right, but I just didn't want to put them through any more crap than I've already put them through.
Okay. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, very quickly. Oops, sorry, big break with you. Mr. Hale?
Yes, sir.
When you were first arrested, if I'm not mistaken, at least I'm going by the pre-sentencing report, you did not admit to the sexual assault. Is that correct?
No, I didn't. I was in county jail and called up a detective. to come down and talk to me because I had a door was off my chest, and he appeared at the county with a tape recorder, recorded everything. I admitted to everything as far as I can recall, but I did not admit at that time to the sexual assault to him. I refused to I couldn't come to grips with it in my mind. And he recorded everything and used it all against me in trial, which he should have. But no, sir, initially I did not admit to it.
My question is, in terms of your personal development, when did you start admitting that you committed this act?
I started admitting this, probably in the 90s. I was attending some different classes. One was Men in Recovery, and the teacher, Miss Branch, she talked to me one time on a one-on-one, and I admitted to her at that time what I had done. And it was like, it was just it was so much off my chest. And I know that was quite a long time ago. It took me a long time even to get to that point. And after that, I never learned it again to anybody about the sexual assault. I'm so ashamed of it. Yeah, I was so ashamed of it. But since the classes that I've taken, I've talked to her openly now in my class, in the SOATP class. It just helps to get that off my chest. And at that time, that was a breaking point for me to Mrs. Branch, that lady. She talked to me in such a way where I could come off of this horrible weight on my shoulders.
I will also ask you, and I'm being very direct, I recognize this is not your first hearing, and you had stated that you wish you'd known about letters, but it seems that regardless of which board you face, because the board members do change, that you might have understood right now that support is something we consider. It's not the only factor, certainly, but it is something that we look at. So, frankly, I'm a little surprised that you wouldn't have some sort of support at this point.
Well, I just assumed that to a next number, there would still be many, many years before I was even if I lived to be that old in my next number, the 5 and the 21. I just didn't think that I would put them through anything else right now because I know I'm not being released anywhere. That's the only thing I was thinking of.
Well,
I'm not going anywhere.
That's certainly very thoughtful, and I commend you for that. I'm asking a tough question, but you gave a pretty thoughtful response. So thank you, Mr. Hale.
Okay, sir.
Any other questions? Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion and make a determination shortly, but before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement if there's anything else you'd like to tell us at this time.
My last hearing, there was a statement made, and I forgot what member. I believe it might have been the Honorable Chairperson, but someone said last year, they said, I can't wrap my mind around this crime. And that has stuck on me all year long. And I'm thinking to myself, what could I say that could, in a way, unwrap a person's mind around this crime? But there's just no way that I could even begin to justify what happened to that poor woman. I feel so bad for her family. I wish there was a letter that I could write to her family to say how sorry I am. But I just don't know how I can't wrap my mind around this crime myself. That's what I've been thinking about all year long, what to say at this meeting. It's just so many things, and I just don't rehearse, try not to remember anything, just try to be as honest as I can. And that's all I got. I know the judge at my sentencing hearing, I remember his words real clearly. He said, "Dale, I hope that someday you can get out of prison." And so to this day, I firmly believe that Judge Dan, my sentencing, had some kind of pity or mercy, I don't know what, in his heart, that maybe someday I could see the light of day, even in my 80s. But that's pretty much all I got to say. I just thank you for your consideration. And if not, I'll see you next year. That's it, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We talked amongst ourselves, you may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we ask that you remain silent, but stay there on the phone. We'll be able to hear the entire conversation, and once we make a determination, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Hale has made quite a bit of progress since he's been incarcerated. He did finally take complete ownership of the offense. I would like to see a letter or two of support, family. If he's involved in any faith-based groups or anything else like that, it would be nice to have some show of support. With this being a parole and consecutive sentence, you would go to that 7.5-year sentence. And there are 21 more sentences, and I'm leaving there for between the two of them. The least amount of time that he would have left is about 17 years, 18 years. And then he went for parole to the street. So, I do believe in giving hope to the people. At this point in time, I don't know that Mr. Hale has any hope that he can see around him if he doesn't get moved to his next consecutive sentence. And I think that he's made quite a bit of progress. I think he's accepting his total responsibility for the offense. All the parts he couldn't accept before. I think at this point in time, I would be in favor of pulling the next consecutive sentence. But I'm going to listen to the discussion from my fellow board members. In fact, he can be helpful with these decisions. So, Ms. Williams?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I think this was a horrific crime, and I think Mr. Hale has acknowledged that and accepted that. And, we hear crimes like this committed by other people. I think Mr. Hale's been very honest with us, very forthcoming with information, and I think he's had a lot of insights about himself, or a couple things he said today that let me know that he understands way more about himself now than he did, and possibly some of that is because of his participation in the sex offender treatment program, which I think he should continue, just in order to help himself, if nothing else. But I, like you, I believe in giving people hope, and I would be in favor. He's still got a burglary sentence and then a consecutive sentence to that. So that we're not releasing to the streets. And, as you say, it would be nice to hear that his daughter and his sister are supportive, and that can be done by a letter. But I would be in favor at this time of parole to the consecutive sentence, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Canones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am not in complete opposition to what both of you are saying, inasmuch that I think that Mr. Hill is evolving, and I think it's been a long journey for him in his rehabilitation. And he's, it's taken a long time for him to come to grips with a pretty heinous crime. I'm more of the position that I, in the context of hope, of thinking that he's getting closer to being moved to his next consecutive sentence. I'm not sure if I'm ready to vote for that yet, but I'm not far from where, not far from the positions that were just presented by both my colleagues. And I'll just continue from there.
Thank you, Mr. Connors. Mr. Johnson?
I think that Mr. Hill has made some progress since he's been in there. He's 57 years old now, looking at going to another 20-year sentence that he has to be paroled to. I think that taking all things into consideration, I would be supportive of him being paroled to his next consecutive sentence, although it's just the nature of the crime and the age of the victim just bothers me, and the reason, but he's taking some classes and trying to, you know, get a grip on that, so.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree that he's made progress, that is for sure. I guess this is my third or fourth time listening to him. He's made progress since I've had the opportunity to listen to him. I guess I'm still concerned, and I think he attributed it to me, I'm not sure if it was with myself or someone else, but I'm still concerned that he still has not been able to get his arms around why he did it. And what concerns me is the fact that the victim was, I believe, 78 years of age. I would not approve of it, but if it was just murder and burglary, I would probably understand it a little better myself, but when you bring in the sexual part of it, why that happened, and I know he's given reasons, and I know that his distinguished colleague, Ms. Rittenhouse, has indicated, you know, he's making progress because of those classes, sex offender classes, and I would just like to see a few more of those classes, because I think they mean so much, is based upon what I've, since I've been on the board, to those who come before this board, but today, I'm still on the fence today, sir. Thank you.
Sometimes the discussions are great, sometimes they make it hard. I think I'm gonna make a motion and we'll see if it carries or not. And I'm gonna make a motion to grant both the next breath consecutive sentence to Mr. Thomas Hale, ADC number 54806, and it would be grant the next consecutive sentence since I absolute discharge, and that would be my motion.
I'll second.
I'll agree.
Disagree.
Regrettably, I'm going to disagree as well, sir.
Motion by myself, second by the House, Mr. Hale, The vote is 3-2. You will get you volunteer next to the sentence. I believe we're now in discussion.
Yes, sir.
Whenever the eligibility arises for the next consecutive sentence, you'll be notified by the Department of Corrections, and you'll have another board hearing at that time. So,
yes,
all, whether we agree or disagree, that everybody does wish you the best of luck. We hope that you keep moving forward with your improvement. And hopefully this will give you a little bit more hope and a little bit more incentive to keep moving forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you. And would you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yes, sir.